Good morning. Welcome to worship. I want to start out with just a few announcements. This is Mission Sunday, and so if you have a designated offering that can go to the Hosh Ministry in Taiwan, you can mark that on your offering somehow and leave it in the offering box that's on the table. Just by the gazebo over there, and your regular offering you can leave there as well. Special welcome to visitors. We're glad you're here, and if this is your first time here for our outdoor service, just a couple of notes. We have the restrooms are available inside the building here. If you go around to your right, to the bottom level door, there's restrooms there available if you need those. Please note on the bulletin the contact information. If you're new to Stavanger and want to find out more, please get in touch. We'd be happy to visit with you. Please note the new time for the Shady Oak Bible Study. It's now meeting Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. and same location. And Pastor Giovanni is leading that study. Also, our Tuesday night Bible study, we'll be meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can contact me if you want more information about that. We're just wrapping up our study in the book of Ruth, and we'll be starting a new study the following Tuesday, and we'll announce more about that next week. Please note, Sunday school for kids and adults is set to restart on October 4th, Sunday, October 4th. A little bit different this year. They'll be meeting inside. That's normal, but the locations inside will be modified. The younger kids, the sixth grade and younger, will be meeting downstairs, and we're asking that a parent be present with their kids. Parents are designated adult and will be seated on the floor in blankets in family groups, spaced apart from each other, and have a group Sunday school. So they won't meet upstairs for an opening. They'll just go straight downstairs, and we'll be giving more directions to Sunday school families on that before we start. Confirmation also planned to start following worship today. Following worship today, confirmation parents are asked to head over to the bell and have a short meeting with Pastor Eric, who will be teaching confirmation this year. And that's following worship today. Today we're glad to welcome new members. They've been with us for a while, and I just realized a couple of weeks ago we hadn't officially welcomed them because of all the service interruption that started back in March. But we welcome to our membership today Luke and Sarah Delaney and Ryan Muckow, and we'll be calling them up later in the service to officially receive them as members. Some of you have been asking about Mariah, who's playing keyboard this morning, helping us lead worship. She just received word this week that her paperwork to return to her missionary service in South Sudan has moved along, and she's purchased tickets and is set to fly out back to South Sudan this Thursday, leaving for Minneapolis. So I welcome your prayers for Mariah as she travels and returns to her work in South Sudan. Those are the announcements I have. Are there any others? Okay. We moved just inside the entryway here. The wind was just a little bit too much to manage with the microphone, so apologies for the limitations of line of sight and all that, but we're doing our best here. We do plan to continue to meet outdoors, weather permitting, into October, if possible. We'll just evaluate that as we go along. We'll put up announcements on Facebook and get the word out if there's any changes. But just we'll plan to keep meeting outside even as Sunday school starts, unless the pain of being outside exceeds the pain of going in. We'll stay outside. So thank the Lord for the good weather that we've enjoyed this summer and fall, and pray that it continues. All right. Those are the announcements. Let us pause for a moment to prepare our hearts for worship. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 5. I exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. This morning, as we sing songs of praise, I invite you to remain seated if you wish. Your chairs might blow away if you stand up, so you can just stay seated, and let's sing, starting with Come People of the Risen King.
And freedom, my steadfast love. eyes on me, Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus led and suffered for my pardon. He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing. I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Let us confess our sins using the order printed in your bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience of your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Invite Luke and Sarah and Ryan to come forward, and I'll just have you stand on either side of the doors here out in the wind in front of me. All right.
You can come a little closer.
That way I can look at you when I talk. All right, and we got Aiden coming with Ryan. Great. All right. Ryan and Aiden, maybe if you want to stand on the other side here, and then there we go. Hey, Aiden. All right. Well, speaking to you,
I'll have you step forward just a little bit, then I can see you.
There you go. Great. But I'll be talking to you here right now. I'm just so happy for this day. We're thankful the Lord has brought you all to Stavanger and as part of this fellowship. You guys have been a blessing to the congregation, and pray that you'd be blessed by the rest of the congregation too as you become a formal member of this body of believers. So I'll ask you a couple of questions here. Do you, in the presence of this congregation, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, respond by saying, I do.
I do.
Good. And do you promise by God's grace to and help to walk daily in Christian love? To pray for this church's growth in knowledge and holiness, to promote its spiritual life, to support its worship, doctrines, and discipline, and to contribute cheerfully to its ministry? If so, respond by saying, I do.
I do.
And now, congregation, I speak to you. Do you, as members of this congregation and of the body of Christ, promise by God's grace to receive gladly and pray for these members? If so, respond by saying, I do, and honk your horns. All right. I think that was a clear response. Dear friends, we thank God who by the Holy Spirit has opened your hearts to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and has led you to unite with this congregation. We receive you and welcome you with joy and cordially extend to you the right hand of fellowship in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, it is a blessing and a gift when you add to the number of your church and to this body of believers here at Stavanger. We thank you for bringing Ryan and Aiden and Luke and Sarah to us, Lord. We thank you for their testimony and for their love for you. And we pray, Lord, that this would be a place where they could grow in their love for you and knowledge of you and service for you, and a place where they would be nurtured and encouraged in their faith. So, Lord, we thank you and we pray that you would continue to add to those who are being saved and to those, Lord, who would unite together with this body of believers, that your mission may grow and continue here, Lord, in the field of service to which you've called us. We ask these things In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you too for your work, not only here in our local community, but across the world. We think of the Hoshes as they serve you and in Taiwan. We pray, Lord, you'd continue to bless them with good health, with help in language learning, all the adjustments that they continue to make with the school year starting, and Lord, their assignment in Taiwan. We pray that you would encourage them and continue to provide for them, that you would help us, Lord, to be a part of that support, so they may continue, Lord, the work to which you've called them, that many in that land, Lord, would come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray also for Joel and Liz that they can find short-term housing, Lord, as they await their host country in Asia to reopen to U.S. citizens. We pray you would help them through all these times of adjustment and help them, Lord, in their work even as they do it from afar. And we pray you'd bless their time with family members here as they have opportunity to see them. Lord, we pray for Mariah as she prepares to travel this week back to South Sudan. We pray for safe travel, for all the arrangements that need to be made between now and then, that they would come together smoothly and quickly, and that you would give her safe travel and bless her work in South Sudan. And we pray too, Lord, for all those among us who are facing illness or injury and recovering. Lord, we pray that you would relieve pain, that you would restore healing and function. We pray that you would encourage and uplift all, Lord, who are struggling, whether in body, soul, or mind. And that you would help us, Lord, to continue to move forward during these difficult days. As a body of believers, help us to minister effectively and wisely in these times. Lord, we pray for peace in our nation. We pray for civility in how people treat each other. We pray for protection for those who serve as first responders, law enforcement, and emergency personnel, medical personnel of all types, Lord, of those in education and every field, Lord, where added work has been made under these circumstances and added burdens. We pray that you would help each one, Lord, to do their work for the good of others. And we pray, Lord, for believers in these positions, that you would help them to see their opportunity to be salt and light for a world that needs you. So, Lord, use us all as you will, and help us, Lord, to always trust you and turn to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, even as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, we pray now that you'd bless Pastor Eric in the preaching of your word, Lord. May it find its place in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Stavanger Church, on this beautiful and incredibly windy day. I'm so happy that we can all be together. I'm sorry? Is that better? Sorry about that. Good morning. Our gospel text for today is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long, doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. "And you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. In our text this morning, we find a parable. And if we understand what Jesus is saying, it seems a bit unfair. Here, Christ compares the kingdom of heaven to this landowner who goes out to hire workers for his vineyard. He goes out early in the morning and agrees to pay these workers that he finds a denarius for a day's work. Now, the denarius was considered to be a fair daily wage for a common laborer in the first century. So after he hires these workers early in the morning, he goes out again at about 9 in the morning, and he finds these people just standing around doing nothing in the marketplace. So he tells them to go work in his field as well, promising to pay them what is right. So they also go off to work in his field. The landowner goes out again around noon, and then again around 3, and he hires more workers, but he still isn't finished. Just 1 hour before the end of the workday, he goes out one more time and finds others who are still standing around doing nothing. And he asks them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" They respond, "Because no one has hired us." And guess what? He hires them too. And he sends them off into his field with just 1 hour left in the workday. And when the workday was finished, 1 hour later, the landowner tells his foreman to pay the workers. And he says to start with the workers that he just hired an hour ago, and then work their way back so that they pay the ones who were hired early in the morning last. And then the most outrageous part. He pays them all equally. They each get a denarius regardless of how much work they put in. And this certainly didn't go by unnoticed. These workers who were hired early in the morning said, these who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us. Why are they upset by this? Why are we upset by this? After all, these workers who were hired early in the morning were getting paid a fair wage. And unlike the other groups of workers, they actually agreed with the landowner. They agreed with him about what wage they were to earn. So then why? Why are they so upset? In his book titled Seculosity, David Zoll argues that our current society is not less religious than it has been in the past. Instead, he says, we have become more religious about too many things. He writes, at the heart of our current moment lies a universal yearning, not to be happy or respected so much as enough, what religion calls righteous. To fill the void left by religion, we look to all sorts of everyday activities, from eating and parenting to dating and voting, for the identity, purpose, and meaning once provided on Sunday morning. I think this seculosity, as he calls it, can be seen in our obsession with objective measurements. We love to quantify and tally and record just about anything we can. We champion charts and graphs filled with data points that prove our worthiness and ability. On my phone, right now, I have apps that will track my steps taken, my heart rate, my calories consumed, my calories burned, my driving habits, my sleep habits, and all of this neatly arranged on charts and graphs. Why? Why do we do this? Why do I do this? I think it's because at night, right before I go to sleep, I can look down at my phone and I can see my whole day charted out on these little graphs. And I can say, I did good today. I can look down and feel I was enough today. Peter Drucker was an American management consultant who wrote books concerning the philosophy of corporate business management. You know, like really exciting stuff. And he's credited with saying, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. I think he hits the nail on the head as far as why we love to quantify and measure things. Measurable is manageable. It's controllable. But I think it goes even further than our desire and love for manageability. You see, if I'm able to take my activity, my everyday life, and attach some number to it, then I can see how I compare stacked up to the rest of you. I can feel good about myself when I see that my name is at the top of the chart. And when I see that I'm down on the bottom, I know that I need to work harder. The thing that's most desirable about this system is that wherever I end up, it is my own actions. It is my own work that gets me there. But in our parable this morning, Christ makes it clear that the kingdom of heaven does not work like this. By any measurable account, those workers who only put in 1 hour of work didn't deserve as much money as the people who had put in 12. This is why these workers who were hired earlier in the day grumbled against the landowner. Remember what they said? These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. These workers are saying, look at the metrics. We put in more sweat, more time, more effort, more work. How could you possibly make them equal to us when we have clearly done more to earn for ourselves? But this is not how the kingdom of heaven works. Our wage is in no way connected to how much or how hard we work. Notice that in this parable, grapes aren't even mentioned. Neither is the amount of work that needed to be done, or the amount of work that each group of workers accomplished. I think that's because the overall point of this parable is not about the work that was accomplished, but rather that all of the workers stood in the grace of the landowner, no matter how long they worked. Just like the workers and the landowner in our parable, we stand in the grace of our God, who has called us and brought us together as the church here on earth. And there is work to be done. Not to complete our salvation, not to earn our spot under grace. There is work to be done because our neighbor needs us. There is work to be done because the world doesn't know that there is a release from the burden of trying to earn our own goodness. There is a God who hires workers indiscriminately, and he does not measure his grace. He gives it freely to all who will receive it. Our wage comes to us as a gift. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So as you go about your work in God's vineyard, remember that there is no room for our measurement of perfection. Christ's substitutionary life, death, and resurrection has set us free from the demand of good works by the law. And because we have been set free, we are now free to love our neighbor, not because it earns us anything, but because we know about this landowner, this God who daily provides for all of our needs, who out of his love for us sent his only Son to live and die for us, so that the benefit of his work could be credited to us. And that is worth sharing. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning. We thank you for your love and mercy toward us, despite the fact that we sin against you daily. Turn our minds and our hearts to you and to your Son, who is our hope for salvation, who worked so that we might be credited with the benefit of his labor. May we find peace in that good news this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Let's sing our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.